This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour four already of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. It's a big night in sports, even though the Rangers are off tonight. A lot going on. And here's Eric Chiafalo with an edition of Football's Finest.
You know, one of the team-building cheat codes, the position of tight end. If you nail it and you got one of these super beasts, there's just not that many of them. You reset the market, you're still not even paying the guy $20 million per year. That's how you get it done right there. That's what the Cardinals were doing, at least. $43 million guaranteed, $19 million average, 4 years, $76 million for Cardinals tight end Trey McBride. Highest paid tight end in NFL history. Highest paid tight end in NFL history, not even $20 million a year. That's one of those, man.
And that's genius.
You can land it.
Yeah. Are you getting the whole package, and are you getting, you know, 1,200, 1,300 yards? What did he put up? What are you getting for this $20 million? Because it's a great team building advantage. You got to go $40 million for a dominant wide receiver, but right. Half as much for the tight end who's going to be more physical, can maybe help you in the run game more.
Yeah,
like, there's a big team building inefficiency there.
100%. Now he's not a touchdown guy for whatever reason. He has touchdown dry spells. He's only got 6 for his career, but he did have over 100 catches for almost 1,200 yards last year. A little over 10 yards per catch. The year before, he was just shy of 1,000 yards. So he's been coming into his own, but he's certainly one of the better pass-catching tight ends in the league. I don't know what the deal is with the lack of touchdowns. I'm not sure what the reasoning is behind that with the Cardinals' offense or if it's something that's a McBride problem. But, I mean, yeah, he's absolutely up there. Like, fantasy players know Trey McBride because there's just not that many consistent tight ends.
Yeah.
And so when you get one, it is such an advantage. And then when you factor in, okay, you have one of the best ones in the league, you're still not going to have to pay them all that much, even if you're resetting the market. Like you said, these wide receivers, they're getting $40 million a year now.
Yeah.
The numbers have skyrocketed. And I think a lot of that is because there are so many of them. So you constantly have new guys resetting the market because there's so many awesome ones. But tight end's not the case. So it just can't reset at a rapid rate like some other positions.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's kind of what Belichick was into. I think you look at like tight ends and slot wide receivers. You know, these guys can dominate the game and you're saving literally tens of millions of dollars off your salary cap. So I think it's definitely a thing to consider. Now, finding the first round tight end who actually goes and becomes a super beast is tough. These guys are unicorns.
Yes. Yes. Brock Bowers, obviously, yeah. One of those guys.
Laporta.
He was a second round pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a real crapshoot when it comes to drafting. Mm-hmm. A lot of times these guys don't come from, hey, they were one of the top prospects, first round pick.
Kelsey.
Dudes. Yeah, you end up just finding guys, second, third, fourth round Kittle, well, you know, mid round picks.
Pitts was the one guy that was drafted super high. Now, the guy at the Raiders is legit.
Oh, Bowers is.
Bowers is legit.
He really is the unicorn.
Yeah.
And I'm still just imagining Chip Kelly, Brock Bowers, and Genty.
Yeah.
That could be dynamic there with the Raiders. Geno Smith getting an extension today as well with the Raiders. Now, Todd McShay just saw this. He says, I'm hearing a lot of noise about Tet McMillan.
Uh-oh.
Going to Dallas at 12.
Come on.
Hello.
Yes.
That's what Cowboys fans want to hear, man.
It's the dream scenario.
I think that's the dream scenario. A lot of people had Genty But it's becoming more unrealistic that he's even going to be available at 12. Tet McMillen seems to, I mean, plenty of mocks where he's falling past the Cowboys. But Todd McShay saying he's hearing a lot of noise about Tet going to Dallas at 12, I think that would, most people would sign off on that and feel great about it. Right, Broadus?
No, I think so. Yeah, I think a combination of something with a receiver, Ben McMillen, and then maybe the, your best back being there at 44. That could kind of be the situation. Maybe there's going to be a corner or a defensive tackle there at 44 that would maybe deter you from doing that. But I wouldn't go. I mean, I feel good enough about the running backs fourth, fifth round. But man, I think the sweet spot for this group, and I know I'm excited about McMillen, but if I can grab one of these running backs before the end of the third round, I would be super happy about that.
So Bruce Feldman in The Athletic did a mock draft.
He did.
And he had quotes from college coaches about each player.
This is a fascinating mock draft, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, it really is. Because the college coaches will explain, like, we couldn't stop this guy.
Right.
You know, they're given, like, honest, like, not on the record. Well, they're not using their names, so mm-hmm. they're saying all kinds of really interesting things about these players.
Yeah, good and bad.
Yeah.
But when they talk about Tet McMillen, you have a Big 12 secondary coach calling him a baller, saying on film that he saw some laziness when he wasn't getting the ball, but he has the best skills he's seen in years. He's unbelievable. I don't worry about his speed. He'll be able to make those catches on third and six when you really need it with a corner right on him. Another Big 12 defensive coordinator said, I think he has competitive speed and competitive vertical ability. Those 50-50 balls are more like 90-10 with him. I know Walchuk has said that plenty.
Yeah.
And then another Big 12 defensive coordinator says, the thing with Tet McMillen, he doesn't come off the field.
Yeah.
He says, you watch the film and you think this kid is lazy. He's like, I think he was just trying to get a breather. He has as good of hands as you will ever see. He catches everything away from the body, up in the air. He has such good body control, not a blazer. He says, but I think he does a good job of finding a way to separate. He says, I can't compare him hands-wise to anyone.
Yeah, you know, to me, it looks like Dez Bryant with his ability to box you out and go up and get the ball. You know, different athletes, obviously, but... You know, to me, that gives him such a high floor because even if he's not the explosive, like, game breaker, you're still going to be able to use him as an easy possession receiver.
And in this mock draft, he actually fell all the way to Seattle at 18. Mm. So he was there for the Cowboys at 12.
Where did it, in that mock draft, did Golden go before him? Or
No, Golden went after him at pick 20.
Okay.
So the Cowboys could have chosen.
He was the first receiver off the board?
Yeah, I guess outside of Travis Hunter.
Or Hunter.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you read me what they said about Golden, please? Did anybody say anything about Golden?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Absolutely. So the Texas wide receiver, Matthew Golden, ran the 4.29 or whatever, 40.
4.29, right.
He says he's got, this is an SEC defensive coach.
There you go.
Saying he's got crazy burst and sudden movements to get past DBs. Says he's smart. Says, I didn't think he was as fast as he was in Indy, but if that's what he ran, that's what he is.
Yeah.
He is a very good route runner. They did a good job with him to get one-on-ones. So that was the scouting report defensive coach.
Okay. Does he sound a little bit better than McMillen?
No, the McMillen.
Just the way the coaches described him? Or were you liking what the Big 12 coaches were saying about McMillen?
Yeah, I think what was said about McMillen was more impressive than what was just said about Golden.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that guy said he was a good route runner. I know Bobby has lamented the fact that he doesn't think Matthew Golden's a great route runner.
I think Bobby's right.
Bobby's right.
Yeah.
Well, in this mock, the Cowboys get Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina.
Oh, so at 12?
Yeah, at 12.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe people are still
I thought you said they got the...
Todd McShay. Todd McShay is hearing noise that the Cowboys want McMillen at 12. This mock draft, I just wanted to read what the coaches said about
him. Where did McMillen go?
He went all the way to 18.
Oh, he went past Dallas.
Yeah, he went to Seattle.
What did they say about Hampton then, please?
Okay, what they said about Omarion Hampton.
Running back, North Carolina.
Yes. Says he's the complete package, mm-hmm. strong, physical, looks like a linebacker, but can break away and take it the distance. Mm-hmm. Says we put tape together before we played them about the amount of tackles he broke. Nobody could tackle him. Backs like that usually can't outrun you to the perimeter, but he could, and his hands are really good. I think he can be a 25-carry-a-game workhorse, and there's a lot of different offenses I think he'll fit into. So that was what an ACC defensive coach said about Amarian Hampton.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I mean, I could see the Cowboys taking Genty at 12. Mm-hmm. Cannot imagine that they would go running back at 12. Mm-hmm. But based on your stack, Broadus, do you feel like there's going to be more defensive players that grade out more appropriately?
Well, there's a lot of confusion about these offensive linemen. So you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're there's more questions about the offensive players than there are the defensive players. There's a little bit more of a sure, like, okay, if I take this guy in the second, I know what I'm getting. But these offensive linemen have made this thing really kind of crazy in that way, because you have guys that you're not sure about tackle, or there's some tackles that need to play guard. Are there enough centers in this draft to go around for people? I mean, those are the questions. I think the tight end room's good. I think the receiver room is good. The quarterback seems very, very – it's very top-heavy there, you know, with Sanders, you know, and Ward and Dart. And I think everything else is kind of – there's more questions about offensive guys than there are defensive guys, if that answers your question.
Now, we have DeMarvion Overshown, who we're all crossing our fingers with the rehab off the knee injury two years in a row now. He's an absolute monster at the linebacker position. Cowboys desperately need him to be back as quickly as possible. He was on Good Morning Football, and he says, the future's looking good. Let me tell you that. Just how I came off of last year, I'm 100% positive. I have my sights set high. Not only do I want to be nominated for the Comeback Player of the Year, but I'm going to be the Comeback Player of the Year. He says he's that confident. He says you're not going to see any drop-off when he sets foot on the field once again. So Overshown is painting the picture like, I mean, these athletes are all extremely confident, but he's a guy who's rehabbed, come back, and still been a beast. That would be, if he's Comeback Player of the Year type production next season, especially if he's able to step in earlier than later, that would be huge for the Cowboys' defense.
And what was his injury again?
He had the ACL, but then
he tore everything.
This
right?
one, yeah, I think this one was even more devastating amount.
He tore everything in that knee.
Just totally blew up his knee. Yeah, so yeah. I believe he can do it at his age. He knows coming back from this, but one more, and I think you go into a range where it's unlikely, you know, that you can come back at 100%. But as long as you're under 26 or 27 and you're sitting at two catastrophic leg injuries, I'm going to bet on you. Once we go to 3 and over 28, it's pretty much like you're 80 or 90% of what you were.
Yeah. I'm not setting the bar that high for what next season could look like for DeMarvion Overshown, but he clearly is, and we've seen him dancing around and stuff this offseason.
He works really hard.
Yeah, this is a guy who actually rehabs and takes it seriously.
Yeah, he sure
does. So he's got a chance. I certainly expect him back before Trayvon Diggs, but man, Comeback Player of the Year would be special for Overshown. He also tweeted out a few hours ago, tomorrow around noon, and he put a 24-hour countdown clock. I think... From what I understand, he's teasing the idea that he's going to have a jersey number change, and he's going to get the
zero?
Agent Zero number that he wore at Texas. That's what I've been gleaning just from a tea leaf standpoint. He's been teasing this for like a week now or so.
That would be appropriate.
Get back to number zero, Agent Zero. He repped it in college. He looked incredible with it, and I think the only reason why he doesn't have it is because of the rowdy factor, which. Come on.
I think you got to mix it up a little bit. It just seems like so far his Cowboys career has been a little bit snake bitten.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, just shake things up a little bit. New jersey number. And
I think he looks
new
good.
New clean bill of health. You like the 13?
I do like the 13.
No, he does. He does. I mean, he's one of those guys that aesthetically I think could get away with just about any number because he's just that physically impressive. Number zero, that's his home right
now.
He
would look good in, like, I know it's Parsons, but I think he'd look good in the 11 for how tall he is and the stretch of the numbers, you know, the one and the one.
Yeah, he'd wear that well.
He would look good in 11.
We do have some – and that, part of the reason, too, I'm saying that is because this is the jersey number season. Switch time.
Yeah.
You had Marshawn Lattimore with the Commanders going from 23 to 2, the college number. Got the Detroit Lions, a couple of their guys. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's been number 26, I believe.
Yes.
Running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to number zero. That's become a number that I couldn't tell you. I guess he just thinks it looks better. I don't know.
On a back?
They're on a back. I think DeAndre Swift may have gone with the zero with the Bears. But, yeah, the zero number is one that is quite a commodity these days. So Jahmyr Gibbs is changing to number zero. Jameson Williams, their wide receiver, going back to the number one that he wore at Alabama.
That was expensive, you know,
to switch.
Yeah,
you have to buy jerseys out, kind of a thing.
I think didn't
Smith do that? The linebacker,
Jalen Smith, had to spend $100,000.
Jalen Smith is one of the few individuals who is willing to eat that amount of money to switch the number. I think what it is if you give them enough notice, like Jahmyr Gibbs or Overshown, they probably forewarned the league of like, hey, after next season or whatever, I'm going to make that switch. But if you do it like in just a one-off season type deal and they weren't prepared for it, they've been making all these jersey numbers that are now going to change, then you have to buy it out. So my guess is all the guys that are switching jersey numbers probably got ahead of this last year with the league of saying like, hey, in a year I'm switching so they can get their production in order.
Slow it down for you so you don't have to buy them all out. Yeah, that can be spendy, but I mean, a number can be important to people.
The Jalen Smith stuff is one of the worst business decisions in sports history.
He was just months from being released, wasn't he?
I think he only got to wear the 54 for maybe like half a season or something.
It was not long.
Who saved us from that mess? Was that Dan Quinn who came in and was like, what are we doing here?
I think it was. Dan Quinn was like, I'd rather play with no linebackers.
The guy can be a corner.
I'd rather move safety to linebackers.
These guys.
Got to run. There it is. An edition of Football's Finest is in the books. We go commercial free to the top. The Expressway, a GD version of LA Live is coming up for you once again at 5:40. LA will be back next week, but we'll return with everything breaking across the world of sports here on a Thirsty Thursday in the G-Bag Nation. Let's do it. Hit the expressway. We'll go commercial free to the top. It's brought to you by the On Time Experts. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We take a look every afternoon at the top stories evolving through the world of sports at the hour. And then here coming up at 5:40, it'll be a GD version of LA Live with you once again. Doing our best to get you through. Okay, we'll replay the G-Bag of the day for you. Hit some randos on a Thirsty Thursday in the G-Bag Nation. Should be a good time. Okay, let's hit the expressway and talk about what's been developing in the world of sport. I find this story fascinating, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are doing one kind of sports gambling or another. Do you see what's going on with the city of Baltimore at this hour?
Baltimore.
No, Your Honor.
What's going on?
They have sued DraftKings and Flutter Entertainment, the parent company of FanDuel.
Uh-oh.
Accusing them of engaging in deceptive and unfair practices to target and exploit vulnerable gamblers. Okay. And it seems like they might have a pretty good point. The complaint filed in the Baltimore City Circuit Court, yada, yada, alleges that the companies use misleading promotions to attract bettors and then leverage data and analytics to keep problem gamblers betting. Practices, it says, are in violation of the city's consumer protection ordinance. So basically what you have going on is they offer these big bonuses for the first week, right? So you rush in, you're like, oh, dude, I get a 200% login bonus. So you throw in $100, they give you $300 worth of credits, but you got to use these credits in the first 7 days. So you jump in, you're gambling your balls off. They're studying your habits.
Yeah, your algorithms.
And once they get your algorithm and they get you hooked, then they use that data to market more bets to you. And I don't know. This is where the world of the internet and how you harvest data and then use that to market people meets the world of legalized gambling in America. And is it ethical? You know, probably not. Is it legal? I don't know. But the city of Baltimore is going after these folks.
This is not the first time that FanDuel has been sued.
Really?
Yeah. In March of 2022, a class action lawsuit was filed in New Jersey alleging that FanDuel violated the state's Consumer Fraud Act by restricting users from withdrawing unplayed funds from their account.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is funny business too. I used to run into that in the online poker world.
And they got sued in January of 2025 by the Major League Baseball Players Association for unauthorized use of players' names and images on its platform. So
one company owned by Flutter has collected at least 186 attributes for each bettor, including their propensity to gamble and susceptibility to marketing. Some of these users are set up in the sportsbook's VIP programs where they are paired with hosts who provide them with exclusive offers and check in with them to keep these players betting as much as possible. Instead of targeting problem gamblers, the lawsuit states the sportsbooks could use their data to identify and help them combat their addiction. DraftKings and FanDuel could leverage their troves of user data for good if they wanted to, but they're using it for bad. One study shows that some sharp bettors have learned to mimic the behavior of problem gamblers in order to receive rewards and maintain higher betting limits, the lawsuit alleges.
There you go.
So
it can be a win for the smartest gamblers out there.
Yeah, if you're noticing like they reward problem gamblers and you can mimic some of that behavior, apparently that's when the good stuff starts rolling in. But about 20% of online sports bettors show signs of disorderly gambling. You know me, I'm all in for freedom, you know, but I also think it's an interesting ethical deal. Like Facebook and Google, they're gathering all of your data and then selling it to people who then use it, that information, to market things to you. Should you be aware of it? Should you be able to have actual ownership of your data? Should it be illegal to collect it? All this is stuff that I think the courts are going to be sorting out in the coming years.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like just typical business practices, at least these days. Like,
yeah.
Whatever these gambling companies are doing, it's exactly what every other company is doing. Like, how many alcoholics are sitting watching football and they're getting inundated with beer yeah, commercials?
No
like,
doubt.
At what point do you draw the line?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think ultimately it's on the individual to have the self-awareness to know, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, at some point it just goes, it goes on to the user.
Yeah. But, you know, at the other time, we don't live in a world that just does that, right? We do draw the line on a lot of stuff, and we make rules for what you can and cannot have access to in the under the idea that the government is protecting you from predators. You know what I'm saying? So is this a place where the predators jump in? And you know, I don't know. But I did see in the story Baltimore gets 0% of this, so maybe they're looking to get cut in. They do $450 million a year, apparently, in the state of Maryland. And maybe they're like, man, if you're going to set up and be hitting our residents for this kind of money, maybe we need you to pay some sort of a regulator or something.
972 says Chick-fil-A always sends me free coupons, even when I'm on a diet.
Can I sue them too? That's a great question.
Don't you sue Chick-fil-A. Don't you take away our Chick-fil-A.
Incredibly sad story with this Frisco track and field. There's been a couple of updates on it since we talked about it with you guys yesterday.
This is as gut-wrenching as it gets, dude.
Can't imagine. Kid had a twin. The victim had a twin who, you know, he died in his arms. As I guess the twin watched it happen and then was coming over to try to stop the bleeding. But, you know, the wound was so placed that it was quickly fatal. Apparently, the two did not know each other, the attacker and the victim. The victim was the MVP of his football team. He was a very popular guy. But apparently there was some sort of confrontation about telling the attacker that he was sitting in the wrong seat. And that started a confrontation that ultimately led to the stabbing.
Yeah, I think it was a heart stab.
Mm.
Like there was almost no way to. I mean, it was right there in the spot where this is probably going to be fatal.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's in the stands. Don't even know the guy. A little bit of a confrontation.
Yeah,
and then dude's got a knife. How are you able to get into a high school sporting event with a knife?
Had it in his backpack, they're saying.
Yeah, I don't think there's like a
security screening kind of deal.
I think you walk in there, you pay your $2, or if you're a student, maybe you walk into the student entrance, or maybe you're an athlete, and you got your gear bag with you. I don't think that's being, you know, sorted through. I don't think there's any need for any sort of precaution, you know, as unfortunate it is. You don't see stories like this very often.
No,
just bizarre. Like how could you decide that I'm gonna take a knife here, and if I have any static with anybody, then I'm gonna end up stabbing somebody today. I could not imagine having that on the bingo card. But it is numbing to see the dad and the twin talking on TV just 48 hours later. I can't imagine what they must be going through.
I know. I think about that all the time, where these families have some type of tragedy that takes place, like the Besh family. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Super Bowl Sunday. They had their whole feature story on the Besh family after their son got killed in the New Orleans tragedy.
Yeah, the brother. And, how about the brother catching the game-winning touchdown in the Senior Bowl?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Jack, right?
Jack, second rounder from the
PC. I love that dude. He's phenomenal. But these families that are able to get on there and not lose, I'd be like, I don't think I could talk for a while.
Yeah.
Like, in a public setting about mm-hmm. something that, especially in this case where, like, it just happened, you're just in such shock mode.
Yes.
I don't know how you're able to get through that, man. That is heartbreaking.
Might be a couple of days before the full emotional toll gets, you know, sets in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but who knows?
Can't even fathom, dude.
Cowboys trade for quarterback Joe Milton, fifth rounder going to New England, a seventh rounder coming back for Milton. We've talked about it a couple of times throughout the day because it's a significant story, I think, for this team. It's exciting, I think, as a fan, because you have a chance of seeing somebody else with some traits that are really impressive. I mean, athletic enough to get first downs with his legs, huge arm, and if it can be harnessed, you know, like Josh Allen's needed to be harnessed, you could really have a nice player. You know, I would put the probabilities in the single digits, but this could, in some realm of a possibility, be the Dak successor.
You have a better chance of hitting on this player with the pick you gave up than taking the quarterback with that pick, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. You like this guy better than the options that'll be give there me, in the fifth give, round,
give me,
right?
Give me this guy's tape over all those guys I saw, the potential fifth round guys in this draft. No, I'm not. I no. That... You're taking one of the, like I say, you take one of these college kids that, and this guy is really just a year removed from playing at Tennessee, you know, so, and he's already got some experience.
We got to dig up the broadest Tennessee scouting report on this guy. We need to go back in the broadest
archives. I need to find archive notes and find that. Yeah.
See if you were just ripping this guy.
No, I probably wasn't.
You know what I really like about him is he can get it outside the numbers so quick.
He can.
You know, and I think... That should be a throw that's fairly easy to make. You know, he has pretty good speed in the 4.6 range, but he's just not consistent or polished. You start watching his games or start watching his highlights, which is available, and you're like, holy crap, I'm watching a complete stud. You know, if you watch the full film like Brian does and you watch all 50 or 60 plays, you'll see the downside. But when you're watching just the good stuff, it looks like a first-round pick. But, you know, obviously everybody had a chance to bid and you won the bidding with a fifth rounder, and we'll hope for the best. But he was at Michigan for like 3 years, could barely get on the field.
Yeah.
It is surprising to me that the Patriots are just willing to punt on him for a fifth round pick.
I don't think they really wanted to. I just don't think they really wanted to. And I think the new coaching staff had something to do with that.
Yeah, they just came in, they wanted a different flavor backup.
They just didn't want to go there. And I don't think the front office wanted to move him, but they knew that if they could get a fifth round pick like we talked about, that would work. And that's what they gave up.
Yeah, Vrabel's coming in there and he swings the biggest stick in that organization now. Yeah.
Okay, so with baseball being off tonight, it is a time to take stock here in what we're seeing with these Texas Rangers. And they're sitting at 5-2. They're gonna host the Rays tomorrow night. Will they start hitting? Is this just a slow start, or is this a continuation from 2024? And I wanted to believe, you know, based on what we were seeing in spring training, this team was going to come out and put up some big numbers and let us have fun and have a party and take some pressure off the pitching staff. But I'm gonna say now I've kind of seen enough, you know, based on how last year went and looking at the players who they're relying on and asking more from. I don't know if you're going to get it. We'll have some stretches where they're hot. But I think this is the best, maybe a top 10 offense in baseball.
Yeah, and if the
if
the pitching stays like it is, which is obviously a big question, then top 10 would probably be fine.
Yeah.
But you're expecting more volatility from a pitching standpoint, especially when injuries start to pile up. You're going to need this offense to be, I mean, we were all thinking probably top five. Yeah. And I think that's all still on the table. Corey Seager hasn't quite been himself. He's missed time. You got to get him consistently in the lineup. Obviously, the Josh Young factor. But I still think I'm trying to block out last year and look at this year, especially with some of the new faces, the Burgers, the Petersons, the Higashiokas, and having a fresher Jonah Heim. You've already seen some of that power on display. So I'm still optimistic that it will get going. But at the same time, we were talking about it all season last year, waiting for that thing to pop. But, I mean, Langford and Adolis are really the only two guys right now that are consistent.
Yeah, you know, I think with a questionable bullpen, with a rotation that might be top heavy, I think you're going to need to score. And what the Texas Rangers do is they lead the American League in offense. That's what they do when they're really good. You know, it's happened several times over the last 3 decades. And you know, I think when you're top 10, you're really only 5 teams from being average. You know, with 30 teams in the big league. So I don't know. I think if I'm CY right now, I need to make a list of where we could improve this team at the trade deadline here coming up in a few months. And I'm thinking first base is got to be in consideration because of how many sluggers play first base. But center field,
yeah.
You know, we got a couple of spots. I don't know what you do with Simeon at short. You know, obviously Jock Peterson's second. You know, you have a good DH in Jock Peterson. I think he's going to start hitting, you know, but you have to be open-minded, and I don't think you can be loyal to anybody anymore. The priority has to be keep giving Young a chance to show he can stay healthy. And until he shows that he can, I think you got to give him at least a few more chances.
Yeah, yeah, and by the All-Star break and the trade deadline and everything, we'll have a better idea of has Josh Young been able to stay consistently in the lineup. But, you know, CY is going to be proactive.
Yes, I love that about him. Okay, Stars hosting Nashville tonight. Big Stars game. We had Ryan Callahan, the former NHL player, on with us at 3:20. If you want some good Stars talk, we talk with the ESPN analyst Ryan Callahan back there at 3:20 on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or Twitch. 4 days after he suffered an elbow injury in Auburn's Elite Eight win over Michigan, Johnny Broome said he'll be ready to go, no limitations Saturday in the Final Four. He returned to Sunday's game after being injured midway through the second half, but spent the week in rehabilitation preparing for their rematch against Florida. Had a sleeve on his elbow speaking to reporters, but said he's not concerned about his availability against the Gators, who did beat the Tigers 90-81 back in February. How about this? Tulane quarterback Tyler Finley, TJ Finley, suspended by the
team.
My
gosh, he's still playing?
He was arrested by Tulane police, booked into jail for one count of theft.
Okay, he's done. This is like his seventh team. I mean, he started like at LSU, Auburn, Arkansas State. Maybe. I mean, he is bounced around some schools. So I'm surprised he's still eligible.
Police were investigating a vehicle that had been reportedly stolen when Finley showed up to move it, claiming he had bought the vehicle recently. He was arrested, told police he'd recently bought a car that had been reported stolen, transferred to Tulane after playing for Western Kentucky last year,
yeah.
Was competing for the starting job. He had a previous arrest in Alabama for evading police. So quite a mess there. And as you say, it's probably the end. Yeah, I don't know if he'd come back from that and play any more college football. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey expected to be ruled out for the season with a finger injury. And carbon monoxide poison determined as the cause of death for Miller Gardner, the teenage son of the former Yankee outfielder Brett Gardner, on vacation in Costa Rica. Officials say the saturation level was lethal in the area, and it was found on Miller Gardner's organs during the autopsy. That's just crazy. So you're like in a hotel room on vacation, and somehow you get carbon monoxide poisoning?
Yeah.
That's wild, man. All righty. Well, with that, here on a Thursday night, Lucius is out. Let's get a GD edition of LA Live.
All right, you squares.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. get some of everything. Everybody get high.
I'll tell you on a grand scale who's helping nobody lose weight. It's Starbucks. This is true. They have a national training campaign to try to trick you into ordering food. And this is why. They know you're going to order a beverage. So they try to lead you into food. Pull into any Starbucks drive-thru, and now they greet you. They say, "Welcome to Starbucks. What can we get started for you to eat today?" And you're like, "Wait, what? I just wanted coffee." And they're like, "No. What else do you want?" So you're like, "I don't know. Sausage? Like, what do you have?" I don't respect that. I like my shame straight up and honest.
I love it. Welcome in here, LA Live for a Thirsty Thursday in the G-Bag Nation. I never like getting food at Starbucks anyway. It just feels like it's too fancy, you know?
Is that like they got croissants and stuff like that?
They got eggs with spinach in it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the croissants. I think they have decent cookies, decent pastries over there at
Starbucks.
Give me
that banana bread, though.
Oh, the banana bread. Yes, see? Yes.
Is that real?
The Starbucks desserts. Now we're talking. Okay, but as we do in every edition of LA Live, we replay the G-Bag of the day for you, the best audio from the world of sports, which we do every afternoon at 2:30, where we play the champ, the challengers, and then vote on which one we like the best. That is your G-Bag of the day champ. And James, who is our current champion?
We've got now the four-time champion, Mr. Bobby Bell, with, again, what we think is the diss track of the year.
Painting on the cheap, yo. Free though, spending cash figures, we need zero. Hands down, I'll take Tommy Sledger, even Rigo. Failing all the way through Cross, hey Joey, where did he go? What's up with this whole phony-ass loser and his drama? The industry can hate me, f*** him, go see my mama. How many flaws you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna slash all his money, I'm gay plocking. Play the clip and hide the eye roll if Sean watching. Sometimes you gotta stop down and show bitter. Certified board op man, take producer out your damn LinkedIn. Walk him out, bro, fine, you know that he been phoning in. Throw him then, just like fish, Richie Grigo and them. Safe eight, I hear you kinda dumb. Don't even know how to make a woman to any chick that talks to
strong stuff
love,
from Bobby Belt there, a four-time G-Bag of the Day champion. He'll be looking for five tomorrow at 2:30. He'll have a fresh batch of challengers. But if you make it five, it's Jeopardy format. You know, you're eligible for the Tournament of Champions or the G-Bag of the Year, and you're immortalized in G-Bag Nation history. But that Bobby Belt's a talented guy, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty good little rap there for a Cowboy
and he's
support.
Really, and he's
multi-talented
really,
individual. I mean, it really knows no bounds.
It's amazing, like, you could, like, you talk about something you did, like myself. He pulled up senior night. Like, he found, like, a clip of me in Baton Rouge on senior night with my mom and dad on the field. And posted it. And I'm thinking, that there's no way. How do you? But he found it. Like, he went back in like an LSU East Carolina game and clipped it out. And I don't know how he does half the
thing. He can find anything, dude. He found my torn ACL injury.
That's
play.
Right. Yeah. That's
from
incredible.
High school. Like, I have no idea. I couldn't find any game film from my high school days, and somehow he found the single worst moment of my career.
I think last weekend he found brought us at the senior night at IHOP. You know, it's just amazing. This guy is so resourceful.
Was that Denny's?
Yeah, Denny's. You're right there. The senior slam. Okay, it is a Thirsty Thursday in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Luby's still has a pulse.
Oh, Luby's is good.
Luby's still getting it done.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I used to have a
Midway
ton of respect
Road
for
in
it.
6:35. Yeah.
If still. You want Jell-O, that's your spot.
And that it's kind of got a cafeteria feel, doesn't
That's
it?
That's it. Yes. Yeah, it's cafeteria. Yeah,
yeah, it's nice.
it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice for people who like to try and push their trays down the and get food. Yeah, nice place.
Yeah, finding multiple food items you can eat through a straw. A question here for you: is LeSean McCoy reaching or preaching? Here we go.
I'll just be honest, man. Listen, if Dak Prescott has a postseason like he's always had. Going to that next year, right? Dak, find a realtor. Because Joe Milton got talent, he can play. And I'll say this. Y'all laughing all that. I've seen other quarterbacks get paid a lot of money and they move on from it. Right?
We've seen it happen.
Okay. We've seen it happen.
It's going to happen.
Breaking
huh?
news for the Dallas.
There's LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy, bro.
He played well week 18 against the Bills. And sometimes quarterbacks get paid and then they get moved on from.
How about that?
So with those two pieces of evidence, what do you say? Is LeSean McCoy reaching or preaching?
This is big time reaching, even for LeSean McCoy standards.
Yeah. If this was 2026, maybe different, right? Maybe yeah. after another year.
After he plays multiple years on the brand new contract that he just signed and they restructured, like Dak is here for a while. Not to mention the no trade clause. And what did he put at single digit percentages that Joe Milton will be the successor?
4%, 6%, somewhere in there.
It's ridiculous. I was actually going to have this go toe to toe with Tracy McGrady for worst sports take of the day, potentially of the calendar year to date.
Yeah.
Because Tracy McGrady had one where he's talking about LeBron James. And he said that LeBron would get crushed in a one-on-one game against other NBA players. I mean, he has a paragraph of terrible taking here. So it's a mick-off between McGrady and McCoy for the worst sports take of the day. He says, I think LeBron has been amazing for 22 years, and he's been the best basketball player for, you know, God knows how long. But if you put him one-on-one, I think he'll get crushed. I think he'll get crushed amongst guys that are actually in the NBA. And I'm sure LeBron would tell you that because his game is naturally built for 5-on-5. He's not a one-on-one basketball player. Kobe was a one-on-one basketball player. Kyrie, James Harden, these guys. LeBron can't do anything with that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he could struggle defensively, I think, against some of the young, quick guys. But nobody's stopping LeBron getting to the rim in one-on-one.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, he will get to the rim at will, even at this age. And I don't know if he was putting it in like LeBron prime or LeBron now, but the idea that LeBron would admit to not being a good one-on-one basketball player and to think that multiple other players around the NBA right now could dominate LeBron in one-on-one is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, the best players, maybe, in their prime, like, you know, I think LeBron would have a really hard time stopping De'Aaron Fox. You know, it would just be too much quickness.
Even prime LeBron?
No.
Oh, right.
Prime
now.
LeBron would be fine.
Prime
but
LeBron
right now, if you're playing winners out, I don't know if LeBron gets the ball if De'Aaron Fox starts with it. You know, there's some players out there, but I'm sure he would do fine, you know, compared to the average NBA player. He would finish, I don't know, in the top 30 or so.
Sounds like you're thinking McCoy has the worst take of the day and not McGrady in the mick-off.
I think McCoy.
McCoy
has the worst take.
He does.
No doubt about it.
I think they are equally as disgusting.
They're pretty bad.
I thought it was a ball sack because, you know, how the ball sacks go. It's usually quotes misrepresenting somebody with what they said. And so when I first saw this from McGrady, I'm like, let me double and triple source this. Not a ball sacking, just a true sports take from Tracy McGrady.
Yeah. I do think because defensively he's got a problem here on the other side of 40. Like, it just, the feet don't get picked up and put down as spontaneously and as easily side to side. I think he could be exploited defensively. There's no NHE double hockey sticks. Joe Milton is making Dak Prescott have to call the real estate agent anytime soon. I would love it if he can play well next year, though. That'd be fun.
Well, don't tell that to Bruce Drennan, our Cleveland radio host who had the
double
scoop.
Down Bruce.
Yeah, double down Bruce last week with the awful report about the Browns and the Cowboys in the process of a trade for Dak Prescott to Cleveland. He's now saying, among other things, quote, I stand by the statement that I laid on you last week. This could come about.
I love it, Bruce. Give him help. Do we have audio of this? Because I love his dramatic pauses.
I'll get it. I'll play it for the hodgepodge. I'll get it sent over to old Tri.
I wish we could see him taking off his glasses.
Oh, there he is. I see the video right now. Let
that
me
guy
tell
sucks
you.
So bad, man.
I have good sources. It is so dramatic when Bruce Drennan talks. And, you know, these things are just without consideration for the difficulties of the salary cap and without understanding there's no way Jerry Jones is going to give somebody $100 million signing bonus and then trade them without them ever playing or working for that. He can't even stomach the idea of a head coach being fired before his last season because he doesn't want to give the guy $5 or $6 million for work not done. You know, these are things that I think most Cowboys fans understand at this point. chance for you and your truck to be in the TV show Landman. That's coming up next year.
Fort Worth, right? Yes. Isn't that where they're filming?
In Crescent. Yeah, the other day it was Fort Worth. They were on the TCU campus.
Do you have to have a truck to be in it?
Yes.
Oh, well, that eliminates me.
What about your truck nuts? Can your truck nuts be in the film?
I think so. Yeah. I think your truck nuts would be approved on this show.
Welcome.
You've seen Landman?
I have not seen. I've only seen the Jerry Jones clip, which was award-winning.
It's actually
acting.
Very good.
Yeah, no, I hear great things about the show.
If you'd seen that, I don't think you'd ask that question because there's a lot of sexuality in there. Maybe probably not the most kid-friendly show you'll see.
By the way, I just remembered, and I should have brought this up earlier, I actually have truck nuts that are pretty lifelike.
That's right.
From the Cincinnati Bowtie bet payoff from a few years ago.
That thing's still sitting in my closet.
Yeah,
that was 5 hours around your neck.
That was heavy. So if anybody needs a pair,
okay,
I got a pair for you.
Get them out there. They need 30 extra trucks of any color except red. An additional $35 is going to be added to an extra's daily pay if their vehicle is used in the scene. So they're going to be in Crescent, which is like at the corner of Hood, Johnson, and Parker counties, and they're filming season 2 of Landman. For anybody who books the part, they say, do not wash your vehicle. Instead, keep it dusty and dirty. The scene's going to portray oil workers getting in their trucks and heading to work. Thus, a dirty vehicle is a must. Filming's going to take place Friday afternoon and overnight. Pay for the day is $110 for 10 hours. They're giving $11 an hour, but you get to be in the show Landman. So that's pretty cool. You should just Google it.
I had a teammate. They filmed a movie called Everyone's All American with Dennis Quaid in 1988. And a buddy, a teammate of mine, was in the movie and became a stuntman from them being. So his profession went from being like in school to going to Hollywood and becoming a stuntman.
He discovered he had a skill.
There's a scene where Dennis Quaid is racing another guy. And they're racing like out of a bar, and they're
foot
running
race.
and he falls, and so my buddy was Dennis Quaid's stunt double.
He was his fall guy.
He did the thing, and then he got a job right out of school. Got a job being a stuntman out in California.
Does he still do that?
No, he's retired. Well, he's like my age, so he's retired doing it.
So he's decrepit.
But he went out there and was in a lot of films and did. But that was his job. He went from not knowing what to do. To like, hey, would you consider being a stunt? And he honestly had to fall on concrete. Like he was running and fell and tumbled around.
Yeah, those guys take a real beat.
Yeah, and he got up and they next thing you know, he got out of school and he's Rob Cutberth was his name. Stuntman.
That would be one of the cooler to say like I'm a stuntman.
Yeah.
To have that on the LinkedIn.
Yep.
We see like those stunts that like Tom Cruise does where he's hanging on the side of an airplane and he's like really doing that.
I know. I don't understand.
It's like crazy things that he does.
That would be the part about being the stuntman. Like, yeah, I could take the fall. I could take the punch.
Yeah.
You know, I can do this. I couldn't get up in the heights.
Yeah.
You know, like the stuff Tom Cruise does, like seriously strapped to a plane that's taking off.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Tom Cruise took a picture where he was sitting on one of the tallest buildings in the world. And he was up on top of the antenna, and he was just sitting like no line, no nothing. Just
guy's crazy.
Just sitting up there, and I'm like going, oh god,
way too hard.
Well, the helicopters fly by, taking. He's just waving like I'm like, bro, I get chills thinking about that.
Yeah, me too.
Oh.
Well, you have the latest with that Ole Miss college student Mary Kate Cornett,
dude.
Guess she's,
I feel really bad.
So this
girl.
Is a false. A false one?
Yeah, this was a fake, just college kids fraternity prank. That
Barstool,
went awry.
Yeah, Barstool did the rumor that she had been with her boyfriend's
dad
at Ole Miss.
I guess,
and it's not true, right?
No, it's not true. Oh, Pat McAfee talked about it, and he's getting blamed for making the story blow up. Apparently, after he mentioned it, even though he didn't mention her name, he just alluding to it.
Yeah.
Everybody then went to Google it, and it became this international sensation. And because he makes the most money and talked about it, she's going to sue him. And I don't know. You know, I think the way that McAfee talked about it, he was trying to be careful. So it'll be interesting to see how the law looks at it.
Yeah, they were just kind of cracking jokes about it because I remember being in surprise when the story was breaking. And it was kind of happening online during one of our shows, mm-hmm. and like off the air, we were kind of talking about it. And then the next day, I'm in my hotel room watching McAfee getting ready for our show, and they have like, I don't even know, maybe like a 30-second, 60-second back and forth kind of joke about it. But I don't think they mentioned her name or anything like that. But Barstool absolutely did, and this is a bummer, dude. I mean, she says this has affected me in such an awful way and has practically ruined my life. I can understand why she feels that way at this point. She's a freshman, 19 years old. She said McAfee never once reached out to me if this was true or for me to give any sort of statement to him, because it wasn't like it was on their rundown. Like, yeah. With like watching it in real time, it was a spontaneous. Somebody said something because he's got like a cast of guys.
They're following,
and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
it just like, yeah. it was through happenstance conversation that it popped up real quick. It wasn't like they were teasing it going into break and then coming back with a full segment on it,
yeah.
you know, but they certainly kicked it around, and I'm glad we didn't. I'm proud of us.
Right? Yeah, nice job, boys. Very responsible broadcasting on that one. We took the high road and
I really don't like Ole Miss very much.
I know. You were ready. Well, Broadus was like, come on, let's lead. This is our top story of the day.
It just seems like she got lawyered up and they're going for the bag, though. Like, would it really leave you that distraught?
I tell you what,
the world believed a lie about you.
Somebody poured a cup of coffee in their lap and got $5 million. I'm going for it. I'm trying to get something out of McAfee on this thing. I would.
I mean, yeah, they're probably money grabbing this thing, but yeah. I do think this is a real disaster for this girl, for her family. Yeah,
it is a disaster.
For the dad who's being accused about this. Yeah. Like, that is, that's not something that just goes away.
Lawyer up and make them pay. Go for it.
Man, you guys were all for the online casino bilking their fans, using their own data against them.
No,
hundreds of millions of dollars, but you know, God forbid a talk show make a joke about a gal who was erroneously.
No, I saw what happened. What happened when you and I brought up something and like we got death threats.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
People were wanting to kill you and I.
940's alleging that Fan After Dark spent all night on this topic.
Yeah, burn the tapes. Around the bases. Let's do a proper round trip or get some baseball in here. Jack Leiter getting love from the national baseball media. What has he done to be so much better this season? It's coming up next year on your home of the 2023 World Series champs, 105 through the Fan.